Well, welcome to the Leadership Loop podcast. This is a place where you get to learn, try, get feedback, and grow. And hopefully you just keep coming back and going through that cycle, becoming a better leader, because when leaders get better, everyone gets better. Hey, today we are talking about building healthy teams, which is integral for success, but incredibly difficult because of the many factors involved in making teams healthy. And who we're talking with today is amazing. We are talking with Lisa Fortier, the head coach of the Women's Gonzaga basketball program. Lisa, can I just share a little bit of amazing facts about you and you and
sure.
what you've done? Okay, so Lisa, you have been the head coach since 2014. You started at 32 years old, which is a young age to start as a head coach of a top program in the nation. You have led the Gonzaga women's program in the 2020 season to a 28-2 record. That's incredible. You've also led teams to be as high as ranked 10th in the nation. Of the 8 seasons you've coached, you've won Coach of the Year 4 times.
I hired good coaches.
That's great. We'll get into that. Okay. You're building a great team around you. But you've done so much already in these last 8 years. And, you know, the future's bright for you. And what we can obviously see is that you've built healthy teams. You've built great teams. And as a coach, you have to do that every single year. You get new players on your team. You have to rework the dynamics, figure out roles, all those things. And so we want to talk about how you build healthy teams because we think you're an expert in it. So, but first, we've got you. We've got a lot of people who love Gonzaga basketball. So give us an inside scoop to Gonzaga basketball. And how do you handle the pressure of leading a top program?
Oh gosh, I pray a lot about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It's hard. There's a lot of people. We always say that it's a blessing and a curse how many people love Gonzaga basketball in our community and really across the country. And we're international. So there's people who, if I walk around any city, any airport, I always run into somebody who's like, "Go Zags."
I'm sure. Yeah.
So it's a lot. But I think, you know, we have a fun job. We have a lot of people who are supporting us. We have a great friend group. We have a great family group. The Gonzaga family is amazing. But, you know, trying to tune stuff out and just stay focused on the task at hand,
yeah.
I think simplifying is, because otherwise, when I was young, I'm not young anymore, but when I was young, coaching a Gonzaga caliber program was not something that was on my radar. I was trying to get a different job that was low expectation.
Mm.
And when I came into the job, you know, no one told me, and I don't know if anybody told you either, that it was a bad idea to follow someone who is great.
Yeah.
So luckily I didn't know that. Otherwise I might not have accepted the job. But so we've just kind of tried to do our best every day
yeah.
and not focus on too far ahead or too far to the right or too far to the left. Just stay focused on
yeah.
the task at hand.
You said that you love the Gonzaga family. How do the men's and women's teams interact? Is it like competitive? Is it collaborative? Do the coaching staffs talk to each other? Is there none of that? Like, how do you guys interact?
We actually get along better than I think probably a lot of men's and women's teams on university campuses. You know, my husband and I both started at Gonzaga as grad assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And so Craig worked for Mark, you know, back in 2004 or something like that. And I think it started then. He coached Brian Michelson. Our players are friends with their players. Some of them date, some of them don't. And so I think we share a suite. So
yeah.
over at Gonzaga, the community within the athletic department is really good. We play noon hoops. We do those kind of things and build
yep.
community. But also within our suite, I mean, from one end is Mark's office and on the other side is my office. And then everywhere between is just our coaches.
Yeah.
And so we often, you know, they'll come in our office and talk to us about what we're doing with, you know, this player, this press, and we'll talk to them about recruiting. And
mm-hmm.
I think we have a great relationship. We every once in a while, of course, would say, no, it's our term for the big gym.
Yeah.
You guys take the practice facility or, but that's, I think, natural and it's all respectful. And
yeah.
we feel really fortunate to have, a staff down the hall that works with us and cheers for us just like we do for them.
Yeah. So you lead a healthy team, but you're also part of a healthy team on the Gonzaga staff.
For sure.
Which I think is, you know, if you're trying to lead a healthy team, it helps to be part of a healthy team, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my first question.
Okay.
As I think about teams, communication is incredibly important. How do you foster healthy communication on your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that you have to do it yourself. You know, you have to set expectations. And if I don't communicate with our team or and I'm in an interesting spot because we're leading our players. So there's that team. And then there's also our staff.
Right.
And we have a staff any given year of 8 to 10 or 11. Okay. Plus then there's the people who work alongside of us as secondary roles. And, but I think in both those categories, you have to lead that communication. You have to identify what your expectations are. I can't just show up and expect that everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah. So what are your expectations of healthy communication?
Yeah, our expectations are if you receive a text, you reply.
Okay.
So everybody, I have a group text. We don't have any fancy software. We just have iMessage. And when I text the group, everybody replies. That's on the staff text and the players text. I think always if you're going to be late or if you're going to be miss a workout, if you're sick, then whoever you're supposed to be with and me need to get a notification. Yep. Young people, especially, my coaches don't do this, but our players would try to tell you to tell me, you know, tell their roommate to tell coach. And we know that that's a mess.
Right.
As adults, we can see that.
Yes.
So that's something that we always do. I would say that within our staff, we meet weekly.
Okay.
Our doors are like all facing each other. So we meet 5 times a day probably or more, but we specifically formally meet a couple times a week.
Yep.
Talk about recruiting. Everybody goes through, you know, what they have to share. Talk about the team, talk about the workouts and try to do it in as concise a way as possible to save everybody's time. But also know that that's on the schedule. It's on the schedule every week. So everybody has they can plan their appointments around it. They can make sure that their workout isn't at that time.
Yep.
So I think some of those things that we've established as, I guess expectation, not a rule necessarily, but that's the expectation and it gets established early, just helps to make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. So you're making really clear, you've got to respond to texts.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to tell me if you're going to be here or if you're not going to be here.
Yeah. Pretty easy, right?
Right. Yeah, which seems so simple, but in honesty, it kills teams when people don't respond to texts like that. And then how do you in your ladies, as they're trying to work together, how do you foster communication on the court? Because I think that's transferable to teams in other settings as well. What do you do to make sure they're communicating with each other on the court?
Well, the basketball stuff is, it's basketball. So if we're not talking, then we'll do something again. We spend a lot of time working off the court on things that will translate to the court.
Hmm.
So I know your podcast is called Leadership Loop. We have something within our program called the Leadership Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through all these characteristics of how to lead yourself, how to lead your team, and what that looks like off the court and how that translates.
Wow.
And there's 9 different things and we go over them 2 weeks at a time. So it takes a whole season to cover all of
cool.
it. But we're constantly beating the drum on communication.
Can you send me your stuff?
Of course.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'd love to learn from it.
Yeah. So I think in practice, if they don't communicate, we go again.
Okay.
Or if we don't talk twice, they get a warning, like this is the last chance. And so we're going to do a down and back or whatever it may be, because it is such a big part of basketball as well. I always tell our team that it's one of the most important characteristics in life is communication, and it's basketball, marriage, everything else.
Yeah. Okay. So, how do you build, you've got players coming in and out. How do you build trust on the team? Because teams operate, their trust is the currency among teams. So how do you build that trust?
I think relationship building is how you build trust with people. And, you know, that starts from day one. We're always trying to build a relationship, and then you eventually also earn trust of people when you get to know them, when they're there for you, when you need something. We do the relationship building piece through practice and we like same with the communication, we practice it. And so not to go backwards, I know we only have a limited amount of time, but the communication part, we practice having hard conversations because everyone just says you have to, I can teach you or tell you all about hard conversations, but then our players walk away and they're like, yeah, I can never do that. So like we would practice, you and Michael have to say, tell me more when he says something you don't agree with and how to work on that. And same with the relationship piece or the trust piece.
Yeah.
You have to share something with somebody. You know, we have a drill where you have to share something with somebody that feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And some people are real vulnerable and some people not, but you have to share it.
I love that.
Yeah. And then, and that goes in the vault and then we work through that. At some point we can bring it out. With our team, we do something called Positive Growth Mondays. and coaches aren't there. They're with Mike Nielsen, who's our strength coach, who also helps us with some leadership stuff. And he just fosters the conversation within them. But that is an area that's safe. He doesn't tell me, I don't ask him. He doesn't tell me. And, they just work within each other.
Yeah.
So that they can, you know, sometimes it's, the expectation we've won 15 in a row. We're about to play BYU, or we've lost a couple. If we don't win this next one, we're not going to win a championship or something not basketball related. And, they just have to practice, you know, how to work together as a group. And, I think over time with that relationship, we are very intentional with the roommates they have. They're never going to have the same roommate on the road, unless we think they should.
Yeah.
And then we would do that. But it's all intentionality.
Yeah. So you're building, you're not just practicing hard skills. You're not just practicing dribbling, shooting. You're actually practicing the soft skills to build trust and relationship on the team. So you're saying, like you said, hey, you need to have a hard conversation with this person. You're going to sit down and practice it. I mean, that I think for teams in any environment is that's a game changer. If you can not just practice accomplishing whatever task it is, but saying, hey, we're going to practice now, you know, having hard conversations or looking at these things in a different way, these soft skills that are going to build trust and relationship. That's, where did you come up with that? That's brilliant.
I don't know where we came up with it originally, but I know that we tried teaching and, you know, through some of the, I know you're going to ask me a question in a minute about my personal growth. And through some of that, we always talk at, but listening or asking more questions seems to be certainly for the new generation, our young players. But I think it works also within our staff.
Yeah.
And I think everyone assumes that when you're grown, you got it figured out, but that's not always the case. And so I think somewhere along the line, probably during COVID, we started talking about how we need to ask them just why guess when you can ask them.
Yep.
And,
that's great.
Then they're telling us, I could never do that. Well, you can't do it if you don't practice it.
Right.
So let's just figure out a way to practice. That's how we get better at other stuff.
That's so good. So you are recruiting. You just got back from a recruiting trip, by the way. So thank you for coming and showing up after a long recruiting trip. But you're recruiting ladies who are the best in their high schools. And they come to Gonzaga and they may not be the best. And they may have to play a different role on the team than they played in their high school team. How do you get people to accept their role, know their role, execute their role on a team? Because again, that's transferable to anyone who's listening. How do you do that?
I think it's clear expectations. That's the biggest part. And identifying it early, if you can. And we sometimes struggle. Sometimes we're good at it. Sometimes we're not. But we're always trying to make sure that they are aware of what's expected of them from an early time. And that's even in the recruiting process.
Okay.
Right now, transfers are crazy. There's people transferring from college to college everywhere. And we have not been hit by that so much. And I think it starts at the recruiting process is that we have a plan. And so when we try to get people to come in and know that they're going to learn and then they're going to make an impact. And, you know, over the years, by their senior year, it should be a different impact they're making on a team than as their freshman. And I think that by identifying that when they come in, or before they come in, then they show up and everyone on the team is their best player on their high school team.
Yeah.
And everyone on their team is used to playing all the minutes.
Right.
And that just can't happen. Sometimes different years lend itself to different things. So we've done before that where you write down, everybody writes down on the board how many minutes they think they're going to play.
Wow.
And then you add it up and it's like six times as much minutes there in a game. Like, okay, well, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work, everyone.
So yeah, just so everybody sees that. And so, you know, we try to help with that. We beat the drum on player development and that we're going to develop them on and off the court.
Yep.
And that's a big part for us. And I think our players buy into that for the most part. It doesn't mean it's not hard.
Yeah.
They struggle and they all still want to play.
Yeah.
As much as we tell them, this is how it's going to be. We need you to improve in this area. They still want to play.
Right.
And, we work through that based on those other things, the communication, the relationship.
Yep.
And usually it's okay. You know, it might mean again, some hard conversations or some tears, right? Parents are frustrated or whatever, but usually the culture we've built, makes it to where they can figure it out within that. And, it for the most part, it goes well,
okay.
You know, with that communication.
So on teams, often people will work outside of their role or try to assume more than they should or aren't doing enough or exhibiting toxic behaviors. How do you address those situations? Like when someone is doing something that's negatively affecting the team, what do you do?
Well, we try to, so some, I don't know if it was a book or a podcast, or maybe you spoke about it sometime. Someone told me along the way to try to put out the fires before they start. You want to deal with small fires.
Definitely wasn't me.
Okay. Well, it was really smart.
But I'll take it. That was totally me.
Yeah. So that idea of dealing with the small fires, before it turns into something big. Yeah. And so that's something we're always trying to do.
Yep.
We're always trying to head stuff off.
That's smart.
But when players act selfishly or, in a toxic way, there's a variety of things that can happen in those scenarios. We try to, meet it at the head and attack it right away. Because I think the longer you talk about it or you try to figure it out, then it just usually gets worse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, I'm not all that well versed in it. We had a behavioral issue this year and I didn't even know how to handle it because we have had so few.
Yeah.
And we're really fortunate with the culture we have and trying to be proactive in developing culture and setting standards. And we talk about above and below the line behavior and we try to keep our behavior above the line. And then we deal with it less than we would if we just kind of went at it willy-nilly and then had to deal with it. And so, this year we did the best we could. We talked to them as the staff. Sometimes it's with my staff, not usually, but every once in a while people get a little rogue or someone gets a little bit unhappy or we're all just people.
Yeah.
So, but I think what we're seeing the most with our players is negative self-talk is a toxic behavior that we're seeing a lot of right now. And that's something that we're really going to focus on. We've got some books and some things we're going to read as a team and some kind of gratitude and those kind of things.
Yeah,
because right now, coming out of COVID and with the stage that everybody's in right now, it's kind of a mess with mental health and those things.
For sure. What are some of the books you're going to have them
read? The one that we're most excited about is called Chatter.
Okay.
And we did some with one of our players this summer with it. And I think that it's a great one because there's just a lot of... Someone asked me one time, like if the ticker, on the scoreboard, you're an athlete. So, the scoreboard, had on the bottom ticker was running through all that was going through your brain, how would you feel? Like if everybody knew what that was and that's just not, it would not say good things, you know? So we're working on our ticker, our internal ticker. And, so that's something that we're going to try to be ahead of, I think anything you can be ahead of is going to help you the best with
that's
toxicity
so
and avoiding that.
Yeah. What are some other signs of toxic behavior that you guys try to head off right at the beginning?
Yeah, well, I would say that selfishness, anything that's selfish is something that we're a team first program. And so if you're thinking too much about yourself and too much about your play, then that's a problem. Again, that leads into the negative self-talk. Sometimes I think players try to get clicky a little bit, and some of that's natural. It's there's a difference, and I don't know if I can define it well, between having your roommates and your closer friend group, but then having a clique that's exclusive and doesn't ask others to come and participate. And we never want that.
Can I just ask, you just say it outright? Like, hey, I see you're being selfish right now. Or do you come at it a little more gently? How do you do it?
I think my staff has interesting roles. So I think I'm generally more gentle. Some of my other coaches are I'm probably in the middle.
Okay.
So I have to be the heavy when I have to be the heavy. And I try to, when someone's being a little bit hard on somebody, I try to be the one who comes back around.
Right.
My assistant coaches are more, I think, stuck in their roles a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think as the big overall leader of the program, I have to be able to fill in the gaps. So I would normally probably approach that initially from a softer stance.
Okay.
Unless it was something egregious that we probably haven't even dealt with in my 9 years or 8 years as a coach so far as a head coach.
Okay. Okay. Let's flip the table a little bit and turn around, and you have to lead a team and you are going to lead out of your own personal health, your own personal development. How are you developing your own leadership right now?
Well, I'm always doing a lot of stuff. I feel like I'm always trying. I feel like there's a lot. I always say I'm a work in progress for sure. So a few years ago, I started every single day spending time like reading and journaling. And so I think if I start my day like that, then I'm always a better leader. And still, I know that. And I still don't always start my day like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a last minute thing. During COVID, I was able to work with a coach or start working with a guy who kind of coaches the coaches.
Okay.
He has a great program. It's called What Drives Winning. And it's not about basketball. It's about people and helping people to achieve at their highest. And really what we did, we actually read a book, a couple books, And then we would go over a chapter. It was okay. kind of short chapters, like a devotional, go over it on camera. And then I'd have to listen to myself speak, which is terrible, but useful.
It's not fun to hear your own voice, is it?
No, it is not. And then we would talk about that at the start of the next one.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most transformative things I've ever done. And
wow.
luckily I'm able to still continue working with my coach or my partner, or my thinking partner. And it just helped me realize some of my roadblocks that I was bringing into coaching. If I was getting frustrated with our players for something, it was not really them. Hmm. It was something within me.
Wow.
And sometimes they're doing silly things, but I would just approach it differently.
Yeah.
So that's huge for me. I try to read when I can. My coaches are better at that. I try to listen to stuff when I can. But the working with the coach has been the best thing. And I know not everybody has access to that, but finding some sort of mentor. And I've had different ones along my career, but this one feels different. Someone who isn't necessarily, he's not a former coach,
right.
But he knows he works with people in my position and athletes and just really good at the job that he does. And it's nice to have a person who's outside of your immediate staff. My staff is great.
Yeah.
I can ask them for all kinds of things, but it is nice to have someone outside of that who can help me figure out how to process better.
Yeah. So. When you went to get a coach, mm-hmm. was it because you were humble enough to say, I need work, or because you're so competitive that you said, I want to get better?
Ooh.
Or was it a mix?
I think initially it was probably a little bit of competitive, I want to get better.
Yeah.
And over the last, now it's been probably 2 years and we kind of take the summers off, but now it's probably more on the other.
Hmm.
And I actually think that's not one of my areas of struggle. I'm pretty willing to, almost to the point of self-deprecation, I'm willing to admit, like, I need help. I'm happy to talk to anybody who thinks they can help. And so I think it was a little bit of both. And I just got lucky. He had worked with our men's team and, you know, took pity on me or something. I don't really know. But I don't know. He actually saw that my brother had passed and it was public. And so I kind of nabbed him on accident a little bit. But it's been a great relationship. I think both of us appreciate it. And
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. What do you think has been, as you look at that development, your own personal development, what's been the most obvious gain that you have seen in your own leadership?
Well, I was pretty, confidence and comparison are things that have been really hard for me.
Hmm.
And just the intrinsic versus the extrinsic motivation. I've always thought of myself as an intrinsically motivated person, but I think when I got into coaching, you know, there's a lot of noise. Gonzaga is not South Carolina or UConn in the women's basketball realm. But at the same time, there's a lot of people looking and people feel very confident telling you what they think, even though they behind social media, Twitter. And, and so that was hard for me early. And I think that it's still a struggle from time to time, but I've gotten a lot healthier with my social media habits and just what my goals are and why they are. I think they're probably, I always wanted to impact players and be a positive influence in their life. But at the same time, I could also quickly say my biggest goal is the Final Four. And, you know, I still would enjoy that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, but I'm approaching it in a very different way that seems a lot more positive, and it seems a lot less like an ultimatum and not a lot more motivating to me to just do my best every day. And that I truly think that when you're focusing on, like we mentioned at the very beginning, focusing on the small things and why you did things and just being your best versus the best, then
that's
you're
really
going to be
good.
A lot better off. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And that releases you from the pressure of comparison.
For sure.
Instead of being the best, just being your best, it allows you to just be you. And like you said, do your best. It's incredibly simple. It's straightforward. It's right there. But
it's
so hard to actually apply that.
It is, especially nowadays.
You're stuck in the comparison
trap. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so when you think about leading a program at your level, leading a team at your level, do you guys set one goal? Do you set many goals? How do you do goal setting in a team to move forward and progress?
Yeah, we try to do things. We've done a few different things, but we try to do things that are measurable and so you can kind of tell and attainable.
Yep.
So that's from individual goal setting with our players, which we do not every year, but certain years where, you know, we'll sit them down and they say they want to have a 4-1 assist to turnover ratio, or I want to shoot 90% from the free throw line. And you're like, okay, let's just show you, this is what led the NCAA tournament. And I don't know if that's attainable. Or they say stuff that's like, I want to be a better shooter. Well, that's not measurable.
Right.
So for our players, we try to set measurable and attainable goals and within steps to get to those things. And then, as a team, I would say we let them start. And so they always say they want to win a WCC championship and they want to be undefeated at home, and they want to, and a lot of their goals now, they've been doing it for long enough that by the time they're seniors, they know what they said when they're juniors and freshmen and sophomores. Yeah. And so, but they kind of lead up to the big goal.
Right.
And, there's always an NCAA tournament one that they put on there. And so we try to refine it a little bit and say, okay, if that's our goal, like we need to focus on one day at a time. And for the coaching staff, we usually just say we want to be better today than we were tomorrow or than we were yesterday.
Yeah.
And hopefully tomorrow is our goal for that. And it doesn't always happen. In basketball, there's ups and downs in the games and certainly in the practices. But I would say many small goals that lead up to a big goal. And even within that, there's subcategories and individual. So lots of goals around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, you have to push your players because they're not setting high enough goals, or do you have to rein them back in? How do you deal with either one?
Well, at Gonzaga, we have a lot of high achievers.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's more often pulling them back a little bit, or just allowing them we're always trying to get them, again, not to feel like they have to prove something to somebody else, although that's what Gonzaga is kind of built on. And that was my career. I was cut in high school. You know, I was I'm very unlikely to be in the position that I am in right now. And so
I didn't know that.
Yeah. My junior year, I had to transfer. It was a whole thing.
Did you end up playing after that?
I did. I transferred so that I could play my senior year.
Awesome.
JUCO, D2, small college. So, I think, but at Gonzaga, they're good students. Yeah. They want to do everything well. They're perfectionists, which I do identify with a little bit. Yeah. And so for them, it's a lot of, you don't have to be perfect. That's never our expectation. And I think somewhere along the line, someone told me about this, about parenting, and the new parents out there are going to think I'm crazy, but the old ones will get it. Good enough parenting. And so they're like, well, I don't know if that should be our goal, is good enough. And our players certainly don't feel like that, but I think you want to push as hard as you can, but then you have to be happy with giving your best effort.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to get our players to do, and not just freak out because they didn't, didn't shoot it well enough, and then go and just spend hours and hours and hours beyond the part where they should be resting, or, you know, so it's a fine balance, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So final question, imagine someone's listening to us right now and they're not leading a team, but they're a part of a languishing team. The team is in the doldrums. The team is not succeeding at the levels that they want it to. How does someone lead from the middle, from your perspective? How do you lead from the middle and make a team better from the inside out?
That's a good question. I would say that everyone can impact the team. And so it's amazing how oftentimes the person who comes in the gym and is happy and high energy, they change the whole thing. And it's even more impactful if it's the leader or the best player. But I think that if you can win people for your cause little by little, then you're going to make an impact. So I would say that when the team is struggling, don't come in moping. Everyone else is already moping.
Right.
Let's come in on high. Let's come up with something that we can do to just spark a little bit of energy, something goofy, something fun, something that's going to pick somebody up. You know, that could be picking, if you're in the middle, you're just an okay part of the team, picking someone ahead of you, below you, someone to pick up all day long. You know, pulling the team together and saying, today we should see how many positive touches we can have as a team.
Yeah.
Let's count them out every time we do one.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many, I think that sometimes people on teams, especially younger people, but I think it happens in our age and in business as well.
Yeah.
They just go along with it and think that there's 0-1 options.
Right.
And someone,
there's nothing I can do.
Yes. And someone really smart told me that in healthy relationships or healthy communication, there's always 10-100 good options.
Wow.
And so
that's a lot more than you think.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. And if you think of it with that perspective, you just have to switch your thinking into a positive mindset, then you can come up with a lot of options and be creative with what you can do. So, and I feel like I've probably been in that middle spot before, and it does feel hard, but once you gain one person's attitude, then you can gain someone else's attitude, then you're going to, the sport or the chemistry in the office or whatever it is will follow.
Yeah. Wow. So here's some things that I heard from you. I heard when you're working on communication, one of the best things you can do is just communicate expectations clearly. That if you do that beforehand, of here's how we're going to communicate, here's when we're going to communicate, that just communicating expectations about communication will help build a culture of a healthy culture of communication on a team. One of the things that I loved is you guys work not just on the hard skills, but on the soft skills. You practice those, which I think is so beneficial and so that I've not heard of anyone else practicing the soft skills in a team. That's so smart. And then, you know, you're talking about mini goals. And one of the things that I loved that you said, and I don't know if you phrased it this way, but you said a final four was your biggest goal. But it's kind of shifted a little bit to you're really thinking about how you develop your players as people. And so instead of a final four is the product that you're trying to achieve or make, what you're trying to build is great players, and they're also great people, which I love that. I love that, you know, every business I think is a people business. And so you're doing that. You're making that happen. And you're getting coached yourself. So you're not staying at your level. You're trying to up your level so that you keep growing and your team keeps growing. I think there's so much that people can gain from this interview. They're going to watch it over again. But I want to thank you so much for sharing with us and taking your time to be with us. I know I've learned a lot, and I can't wait to get those leadership lessons that you share with your girls all the way through. And I'm really excited to get those, read through those, and learn myself. So it's been a joy and a pleasure, and want to thank you. And thank you for joining into the Leadership Loop podcast, and we'll see you next time.